All right, let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges, from sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends. And they'll deliver them discreetly right to your doorstep. And you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with the promo code BROS. Tried a bunch of their gummies myself, and it's wild how different each one feels. Their sleepy time gummies knock me out in about 15 minutes flat. No hangovers, no grogginess. I wake up feeling amazing the next day. And their epic euphoria gummies, well, they're perfect for those days when nothing's going right and you just need to hit the reset button on your shitty mood. What makes these different is how they've paired THC and other cannabinoids with herbs and adaptogens. You're just not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary or anywhere else, for that matter. And they've got gummies for literally everything. Immune supports, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, sexual arousal. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS. And they can ship to almost every single state in the United States of America. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off with their first order with code BROS. So head on over to Mood.com. Browse their amazing selection of functional gummies and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use the promo code BROS at checkout to save 20% off your first order. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your own home. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride, minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, they got spray and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there's no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, no insurance is needed. And one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/drinkingbrosports. That's hims.com/drinkingbrosports for your personalized hair loss options. hims.com/drinkingbrosports. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
What is up? Welcome back to Tomahawked. I am your host, Rob Fox, joined as always by Dan Holloway. We are here to talk some Atlanta Braves baseball. Finally, some good news coming from the team a little bit. Phillies, Braves win the series in a walk-off last night that I definitely didn't turn off after we walked in what I thought was the winning run in the top of the 11th.
I didn't watch the game at all.
Well, I didn't watch most of it because I was putting the kids to bed, and that takes up the first couple innings. But I come downstairs to turn it on, and it's rain delayed for like fucking 3 hours. Mm. So I was like, okay. And then I honestly just forgot about it until I got a notification on my phone that it was going to extras, and I was like, all right, let's do it. Turned it on. Frustrating, then horrible. And I was like, I can't fucking do this. And then as I'm going to bed, I open Twitter one last time to put some happy thoughts into my brain before I go to sleep. And I see the Marcell Zuna walk-off homer. Braves win 4-2.
Yeah.
Fucking happy win.
Yeah. Jose Suarez walks three people, including walking in a run, and gets the win.
Yeah.
It's the least deserved win of all time.
Fun sport.
Yeah, can be. Not for the Phillies last night. We picked him up from the Angels for something. I don't remember what it was.
Not much.
I don't know why. He's fucking terrible.
His
last three seasons, this is bullpen guy.
Yeah.
And some starts, but his whip is like 196, 161. So far, it's 136 this year. That's not a bullpen guy.
Oh, good. We replaced Luke Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah, who's having a great year, by the way.
Is he? Yeah. What's Jackson's whip at? That's what I want to fucking know, because I assume he's still walking two dudes an inning.
Yeah, I haven't looked, but it's probably that, if I had to guess.
Just an actual asshole.
Yeah.
Let's see. I want to know. I want to see your fucking whip, you dickhead. It is a robust 133, right in line with his career. There was one thing that we'll talk about the good stuff mostly, but there was one thing that pissed me off last night, and maybe this is like new school me or whatever, but it felt like something that would make you angry as well. And that was in the bottom of the 10th. So we held the Phillies. They didn't score. I don't even think they advanced the runner from second. I can't remember. I don't think they did. We come up, bottom of the 10th, chance to win the game. Obviously, zombie runners on second. We immediately use Michael Harris, who was batting eighth that night, to bunt him over.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I don't know. Michael Harris can't bunt, and neither can anybody else in Major League Baseball. So
Michael Harris has bunted a few times this year already. So apparently
he has, and none of them have worked. He bunted into a fucking force out at second one time, and then I think one time actually it was successful.
He's two of the three bunts I've seen have been late, have worked.
Yeah.
But for this one in particular, I know Michael Harris is batting eighth, likely because he's been a little, hasn't been great so far this year, but he's still Michael Harris. There's a man on second. He's not slow. I think it might have been Nick Allen. I don't remember who it was. But the guy on second wasn't slow. Bunt him over and just burn it out. You have a man in scoring position.
Yeah, I don't understand.
And then in the top of the next inning, the Phillies come up and, you know, ground out to second, basically the equivalent of a bunt because the guy advances to third.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wanted to scream because now you're basically gambling on, God, I hope the next guy gets a fly ball.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, I don't know what Snitker's up to ever, to be honest. Nothing he does makes any sense to me.
It was baffling. And by the way, for all three of the games, we've hit pretty well against the Phillies' bullpen, all things considered. Night one, we crushed the Phillies' bullpen. Night two, we took the lead against the Phillies' bullpen before losing. And then, you know, we eventually beat the Phillies' bullpen in the third game. I just don't fucking get it. I don't get it. So you're not going to ground into a double play. What the fuck is the point?
Yeah. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think that Ozuna should be hitting leadoff right now.
He is. We'll talk about him in a bit.
He's the only, once again, for the second year in the row, he is the only guy on the team that can actually hit.
He is mashing.
Mm-hmm. So he should be hitting leadoff. Riley is where he needs to be. Olsen should be in the three hole. I would probably move Murphy up to four right now.
He also mashing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just like
only a couple games.
Yeah. Only a couple games, and the results are okay, but he's hitting the ball really hard. And then, you know, Albie's way down the lineup. Harris still hasn't made any progress as a hitter.
Yeah.
To be honest. high inside fastball off of the curveball low end that he also swings and misses at, swings and misses at it every time. He has no discipline at the plate. And until he does, he's going to be a mediocre player, frankly. Like, yep. He's a great center fielder.
Will be valuable in defense for the next 10 years.
But as far as offense goes, he's a mid-200s hitter until he learns how to do one of those two things. You either got to be able to lay off that high fastball or the low curveball or hit one of them. Or at least foul him off. He can't do any of those things.
Yeah.
And anybody that can execute on those pitches as a right-handed pitcher, lefties are different. But as a right-handed pitcher, if you can execute on those two pitches, you can get him out every single time he's at the plate. Yep. Every single time.
One thing I will say that that Snicker did well last night was to just intentionally walk Bryce Harper. Like, good call.
Yeah, never, unless the bases are loaded. And even in that case, if you're up by more than one, just don't let him hit when the game's on the line. He's one of the best clutch hitters I think I've ever seen in my life.
I saw, it might have been your boy Spader, who was having a fun meltdown on Twitter last night over that game, posted something just that he hits well over 300 when it's late innings and the Phillies are tied or down like one or two runs.
Yeah, in the eighth and ninth inning, he hits like 320.
Yeah.
When they're tied or down and the game's on the line.
Right, yeah. When they're down and it's within
reach, yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild.
But enough of the doomerism. It was, in my opinion, a good series. Phillies, probably frauds. They scored 14 runs in 3 days, which is fine. Better than the first seven games, certainly. Seven on the first night. Riley, Ozuna, and Murphy all homered. The Riley and Ozuna homer is especially huge, even though we lost the game Riley homered in. They seem to be hitting the ball decently hard all series. Schwellenbach pitched amazing again. Grant Holmes he didn't let up any runs, a couple walks, but pitched decently well. Took him out after four, but pitched decently well. But what was big to me in this series, what was finally nice to see, is that there was an actual sense of urgency. They had all three games, they had late inning comebacks. All three games, they were down late, down or tied late, and all three games, they came back and tied it or won. The middle game, we ended up losing, but the Phillies took a lead in the second game. Riley comes out the very next inning, hits a fucking bomb, right back in it. Obviously, lose the game eventually to Harper's home run, but it seemed like this was the most urgency I've seen in this team since the beginning of 22 when we were battling the Mets.
Yeah, we're in certainly they're stabilizing a little bit, and having Strider come back will help. I don't know what's going on with Hurston Waldrop down in AAA. I haven't really paid attention to it yet,
but yeah.
I don't know what Holmes and Schauber are really going to contribute to this team. We'll see. TBD on that.
Although Holmes only pitched four.
Yeah. Yeah, they can't. I mean, Smith-Schauber doesn't get out of the fifth inning ever.
Yeah.
At no point. I think he's had one game in his entire career where he got out of the fifth.
Yeah.
And that's fair because he hasn't pitched that many innings in his career. He didn't even start pitching until he was a junior in high school, and he didn't pitch in college. So I don't even know if he's thrown 200 full innings in his life. So,
right.
You know, it's going to be a process with him. But the question is, if that's the case, why the fuck's he in the major leagues?
Or why is he in the rotation?
Yeah. Like, make him a mop up guy and get him some innings over the next year or two and let that be that.
It seems like he has the stuff to be a great reliever if that's what we need. Mm-hmm. And the bullpen is a little thin. But I think they're obviously dedicated to making him a starter, which is.
That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But there's a way to go about doing it. And Strider started out in the bullpen too.
Yeah, so, yeah, his first year.
And in no way is Smith-Schauber a better pitching prospect than him.
No.
Not even close, right? So, yeah, I mean, we'll see how it's handled. I don't know that it'll be handled well because, again, Snitker doesn't know what he's doing. He's a nice guy, and that's it. He's a nice guy that the players like. He's the worst coach in Major League Baseball.
It's the decisions this year so far have been... And normally I would be like, it's 162 game season, hard to put under a microscope. But at this point, it's just like, this is who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And someone needs to start intervening a little bit. I mean, you don't want to be like the Cardinals and just put in a yes man for the front office who has no sense of baseball on his own. But you need you need someone making like coherent, because like obviously you can't call down to the dugout. No manager would allow that. Call down to the dugout, hey, this guy needs to come in. This guy, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, we saw that with Moneyball. The movie obviously kind of detailed how that battle between Billy Bean and what's his nuts went. And yeah, I mean, I think we're in bigger trouble than we think we are right now, to be honest. Acuna is not going to be back until mid-May, probably, just based on what I'm hearing.
The earliest. Yeah. Yeah. He just got cleared to start doing outfield activities.
He had to do lateral movement. The bigger problem is that I don't think Sale makes it through this season. I don't think he's pitching in June, actually. And the reason I think that is because his fastball mile per hour right now is down 1.6.
That's something that was on the list to talk about today.
His slider is down a full mile per hour as well.
Yeah.
He's in trouble.
He's been rocked all three games. Yep. We'll get to that before. I just want to get a general sense. Did you see any sense of urgency from the team? I mean, this seemed to me like they were playing the way they need to play. Not just because they got the wins, because even in the loss, they were resilient and they were battling.
Yeah, I mean, I think being at home helps, and then playing the Phillies helps.
Yeah.
Because that's your rival, your primary rival. The Mets aren't really a rival. Even when they're good, it's just not like this isn't the 90s anymore. I just don't feel that rivalry, to be honest. But definitely with the Phillies. So I think that probably elevates their game a little bit. We'll see if they can do it. When it's the Tampa Bay Rays and nobody cares. Rays typically do well against the Braves.
And by the way, great game against Zach Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
Like, truly, they got, I think, five off of Wheeler. Mm. Let me see what Wheeler did here. Yeah, they scored five runs off of Wheeler, drew three walks, eight hits. I mean, they usually don't look like that against Zach Wheeler.
Mm-hmm. No one does.
Yeah, no one does. Fair. So they came to play. They absolutely came to play. The problem was on the other side of the ball. We'll get to this in a minute. Chris Sale got slapped around again for the third time in three games. But almost the entire lineup had a hit. Actually, the entire starting lineup did have at least one hit in that Wheeler game. So I'm encouraged by the fact that they seem to have gotten punched in the mouth and woke up, because the last 3 years after the World Series, they've kind of just come in, and they've had great years. I mean, they won 100 games, but they kind of come in and they're just like, okay, business time. Let's go. Let's do it. Mm. La, la, la. And there were senses of, there were urgent moments or exciting moments in those years, like beating the Mets early on in 22. It was that game where all four of the ex-players were in the booth and Albies had the walk-off to win it. And, you know, it was like, oh, here come the Mets again. And we just kind of killed the Mets that year. Mm. Like, that was kind of the end of it. But aside from moments, it really has just been like quiet business from the Braves, which, as we know, does not serve them well.
Mm-mm.
In the long run.
No, I think this series was both a fluke and quite lucky from them, to be honest. Certainly they did a good job against Wheeler, but other than that, they didn't do anything super well other than Schwellenbach pitching. They went in the series, which they won two games in, they went 6-for-29 with runners in scoring position. That's a 207 average.
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
Yeah.
Right. So that's where they are. You execute with runners in scoring position. That's it. And if you don't, you fucking lose. So whatever excitement you saw at the end of the game last night was excitement because they won. That excitement needs to be in the first inning, in the second inning, in the third inning. And they don't have it because they don't have a leader on this team.
Yep. No one's in their ass.
Including the manager.
Yeah.
He's not a leader. He's not good at anything that he does. I mean, he certainly keeps his uniform clean and it doesn't hit the ground. So he's upright most of the time.
Right.
But aside from that, he doesn't offer any real value to the Braves.
The problem with a guy like Snitker is that you think his strength as a calm players guy is, all right, we don't hit those high highs. I mean, we have hit high highs, I guess, like that June 2 years ago where we just won like every fucking game.
Mm.
But it's like, okay, he kind of keeps the floor high, right? But the floor's falling out now. So what's the advantage, I guess, is that he keeps them calm while they're too calm. I'm kind of just grinning and bearing watching with Snitker as the manager. But let's get into the important players so far, good and bad. And number one, as you mentioned, is Chris Sale's having problems. The velocity's down on everything, and the results are bearing that out.
Yeah, his velocity, he was 94.8 miles per hour on his fastball last year, 93.2 so far this year.
Yeah.
Not great. 94.2 on the slider, his second pitch. On the sinker, 94.2, 93.1. So both of his straight pitches have lost a full mile per hour or more. And velocity in his slider's down half a mile per hour, which is, you know, that can and cannot matter. Sometimes that's just dependent on how he feels like throwing it.
Right.
And the arm angle and stuff like that. But
opponents also have an 822 OPS against him through three starts.
That's just getting lit up. Sometimes that's about location.
Yeah.
And location doesn't bother me because that can be fixed with mechanical adjustments. What can't be fixed with the mechanical adjustments is the fact that his arm's about to explode.
These are
all the warning signs that his arm is fucked.
Do you think it's his arm or he left last year? Remember, he couldn't pitch in the playoffs because of his back.
It could be the back. It could be the oblique or anything like that. But with him, historically, it's been a little bit of everything. So it's hard to say. You know, he's had all of those injuries.
I mean, this is one thing we said going in. It's like, dude, if they're healthy, it's great. But, I mean, can you depend on Chris Sale 2 years in a row?
Yeah, this is what happens when a major market franchise behaves like a poverty franchise.
They are
100% behaving that way, which is why you get years of service from a guy like Luke Jackson, who just doesn't belong in baseball. He'll be out mid-year.
Oh, speaking of Luke Jackson, he'll get just cut. Things to shit on Snicker for. I don't know this for sure, but man, it just felt like Snicker was the one being like, we need him on the team.
Oh, yeah.
Just based on how often he was used in high leverage situations, it seems like he was Brian's guy.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, having Jose Suarez on the team with a career 1.3 whip, that's not cool. Pierce Johnson's only got 3 innings pitched so far this year. He is the best reliever on this team that isn't our closer. Yep. It's not even close.
Yep.
And it's been the case for 2 or 3 years now, and he gets the least amount of innings of everybody. It's
fucking crazy.
This Hector Neris guy's another one that career-wise sucks. And you know, Jose Suarez was brought over because AA wants these dual players. Well, he can also start if we need him to. Why don't you just fucking sign a starter?
No shit,
man. Even a guy that's a 4 ERA starter that's going to give you 30 starts is better than that.
Yeah.
I don't understand how they don't understand this.
It feels like I think Alex Anthopoulos got fucked by the organization.
Sure, yeah, it's like, not all his fault.
I think last 2 years we were kind of shit on AA. I think they told him one thing and then did another.
Yeah, that's probably true. And then, you know, there's also...
Because he loves to make moves.
Yeah, he likes... I mean, certainly if you give him money, he will fucking build the best team that exists, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a fact. And instead, he's got to bring back 41-year-old Jesse Chavez.
Right.
Because of nostalgia, I guess. This isn't a nostalgic sport. It's a sport about fucking winning. I mean, we talked about this in Little Big League. The little kid's fucking favorite player couldn't hit anymore, so he had to cut him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the reality of life. The fact that Bryce Elder is still on this team is incredible to me. He's had 2 consecutive years, not before this year, of just sucking out loud.
I mean...
And he clearly is not going to be a Major League Baseball pitcher.
No, not at this point. It sucks, because I kind of like him, but... Yeah, although with Elder, at least, it's egregious that he's throwing on the major league roster, but it's like, I think part of it, too, is like, well, no one else wants him. So he's not leaving the organization.
Yeah.
Where are we going to send him?
I don't know.
But yeah, the sales stuff is troublesome. It just goes back to this thing where we came into the season with, like, the bad kind of hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, hope it works.
Yeah.
Where instead of, like, it wasn't, like, optimistic hope. It was, like, cautious hope. That everything would potentially work out. So far, it's not the case with Sale. Sale, to his credit, or not to his credit, but I guess worth noting, is that his comment on the pitching stuff so far is he said, like, things just aren't clicking yet. He doesn't think it's a injury issue.
Okay, well, that's cool, but the fucking metrics say something else.
Right.
If you're down a full mile per hour and a half on your fastball, then something's wrong. That's not a fucking, that's not missing your spots.
Right.
We know what this is. So, you know, we'll, I guess we'll fucking see.
I mean, dude, if he needs to be shut down for a little while, do it now. Right. We get by somehow. Obviously, it's going to be what sucks, too. And I think what one thing that's really annoying about the way the Braves dealt with their offseason is that the trade deadline isn't what it used to be, because so many more teams have a shot to get in.
Yeah.
An extra, what, two teams get in? So you have an extra probably five or six that think they can get in?
Yeah, everybody gets in. And it's going to be it's probably going to have to be a trade, because there isn't a starting pitcher in there in their minor league system right now that's capable of pitching in the big leagues.
No, like, I mean, again, you got to hope a team like the Cardinals, just they started off the season a little okay. They've fallen back to earth. You got to hope someone like the Cardinals is just like, just finally pulls the Band-Aid off and is like, okay, we got to rebuild and, you know, we can grab a guy like Sonny Gray or something. But I mean, you really, the market for trades is completely different than it was 5 years ago because of the expanded playoff. So there's fewer teams to shop from. It's just basic market economics, right? There's fewer things to buy, so the prices get higher.
Yeah.
And you got to deal with that now. And by the way, our farm system is not great. We don't have a ton of assets, and the assets we do have, we don't really want to give up. So we are in particular in a shitty position, which is why the lack of free agency moves during the offseason is fucking killer now.
Yeah,
because that was our only genuine chance to do anything, especially since we have a lower payroll than we did last year.
Yeah, we're in big trouble. I think the two best pitchers in our farm system that are anywhere close to being major league ready are Waldrop and Hackenberg, and they're both getting lit the fuck up so far this year.
In Gwinnett, are they in AAA?
Waldrop's in AAA, Hackenberg is in AA.
Okay.
And they're both getting lit up.
I'd be surprised if we see Hackenberg this year then.
He was scheduled to be up this year at some point based on the scouting reports and stuff, but maybe it's just maybe he's getting dinked and doinked. I don't fucking know. But he's only made it through 8 innings and 2 starts so far. And his whip is 140, so that's not great. He's walking a lot of people.
Yeah. In better news, Sean Murphy hitting the ball real well so far. Only a couple of games, but he's got a 930 OPS, 545 slugging percentage, 385 on base percentage, so right where you want him to be. Hard hit rate of 33.3%, so a third of the balls he's making contact with, he's smoking. Barrel rate of 16.7%. Again, not that many games, but Murphy looks like he might be back to being the guy we thought he would be. And the reason we have Sean Murphy and not Wilson Contreras, which I still don't love, is that Murphy is still a better defensive catcher. And they've always valued pitch framing and defensive catchers, guys who call games, because Contreras, I love him. He's not as bad as his brother was at that, because, I mean, his brother got moved out of the catcher position. But, yeah, I mean, they value being behind home plate quite a bit. So that's why Murphy's here. So if Murphy can be the Sean Murphy we thought he was going to be, the Sean Murphy he was 2 years ago, good sign.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly good. His exit velo is not quite what it was so far 2 years ago, even though he does seem to be hitting the ball hard. He's down. I mean, in 2023, it was 91.5 was his average exit velocity, and it's at 86 right now. Again, it's only been like 4 games. So,
yeah.
Or six. This is from 6 events. He's hit the ball in play 6 times. Hit the barrel 1 time. So hit the ball hard twice, though, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
With these.
Including a homer.
Yeah, maybe you should use the fucking. Well, that was definitely one of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, hard hit rate at 33%. That's just okay. It's medium, so we'll see. I don't know that he's.
It's too early to say anything definitive about him.
Well, I don't know if he's so much better. defensively than Contreras, that move makes sense.
Oh, I'm not necessarily defending the move. I'm just explaining what I know that their line of thinking is, which is they need dudes who are going to help the pitchers as much as they need another bat in the lineup.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, Contreras, not that he's, again, it's like 2 weeks into the season, but Contreras hasn't had a great start to the season so far.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, exactly. Although I think Milwaukee's kind of, well, actually, who knows, because Yelich is doing some stuff, but that's we'll talk about that later. But I'm encouraged by what I've seen from Sean Murphy so far. I'd like to see him higher up in the lineup, especially if he can keep a decent on-base situation going. Ozuna is looking like another top five MVP candidate. I mean, he's not going to win, obviously. He's a DH, and he's not a DH putting up Shohei Ohtani numbers, 50-50 years or anything like that. But Ozuna, so far, the on-base percent, he's got a .509 on-base percentage right now. He's taken walks. .526 slugging percentage. Hit the walk-off homer last night. Hitting above .300 again. He's the only bat in the lineup I trust right now every single time.
Yeah. He should be hitting first. And Riley, who's kind of turned it on here lately, should be hitting second. And then Olsen third. And so on and so forth. Acuña wasn't ever in the lineup because he was selective or because of his on-base percentage, because he was the best hitter on the team.
Right.
That's why, and that's the smartest thing you can do, because you get an average of like 34 more plate appearances per year for every like position you go up in the lineup, which means it compounds from like six to first. Not that he was ever six or anything, but having Ozzy Albies hitting first doesn't make it will never make any sense.
No, that'll never make any sense.
I would rather have Riley at first.
Yeah,
or anybody else that's a top tier hitter.
I agree with that completely. I love Albies, but he's not that guy.
Don't think we resign him. I would be surprised.
We're gonna let him go.
Yeah, because he's just like the defense keeps getting worse. And the hit, like, I respect the fact that he's 5'6" and he can hit 25, 30 home runs.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a good hitter. Probably belongs on an American League team. He just always felt like more of an American League guy to me. Ozuna, I don't know that we re-sign him after this year either.
Well,
like, are you going to be able to afford to? I know he's going to be 37, but still, he's cranking it. The last three seasons have been three elite level seasons for him. Top 10 MVP voting each time. And this season, he would do it as well.
He's not coming back. Because I don't think, again, we said this before, I don't think they want Acuña in the field after this year.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that is, you're going to replace our most consistent hitter with a guy who hasn't played a full season except for once out of the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And it's not looking good for the Braves. Like, long term, right now, farm system's not great, and the performance at the major league level has not been great for most of these guys. We signed Profar to a 3-year deal. I think they should cut him immediately. He can't even play in the play. Not that they're necessarily going to make the playoffs at this rate, but he can't. He's not even eligible for the playoffs. They should cut him. Like, there's absolutely no reason to pay him one more dime, because it's very clear that this peak season he had last year was due to performance enhancement.
It would seem that way.
Yeah. So, I mean, he didn't get busted in June. He got busted in fucking April.
Yeah.
Right? Which means he was doing it the whole time and he's got lucky and never got caught. And then we made, you know, again, because we behaved like a poverty franchise, we brought Kelnick over, who is a guy that belongs on a poverty franchise. He belongs on the Pirates. That's where he belongs.
Back on the Mariners.
Yeah, or in the Mariners. We got lucky for a little bit with Arcia, but that luck has run out and it'll never come back. He'll never come back. That's it.
I think, was it the first half of last year or the year before where he was crushing the ball and then it just kind of fell off?
Harris, again, will eventually become, if he decides to, it's up to him, right? Like, I hear him tweeting a lot, but I don't see him adjusting at all. He's the same hitter today that he was 2 years ago when he first came up. Literally the same pitches get him out every single time.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, man, flailing at the low and away sinker or changeup, and then completely missing by a foot on anything low and in. And then the high inside fastball on the back end of that is a killer for him too. It's like you got to adjust or you're going to be mid. You're going to be Jason Hayward.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's very disappointing because I think he's talent-wise, he's elite. But we'll see how he develops his actual skill. You can't do one or the other.
I mean, we did change hitting coaches in the offseason. So, I mean, hopefully that makes a difference eventually. It did not. So it has not so far until this series a little bit.
Season's young, though. Pitchers always come out ahead of hitters.
Yeah.
Like, timing takes time. That's why they call it that. So, you know, I'm not – I think – Harris will probably end up hitting 290, 300 this year, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
He's a good hitter.
I mean, he's had some good ABs. He had a good what was that? I think it was the game to take the lead in the first game, a good sack fly, good at-bat to do that.
And Riley, despite having a low batting average right now, he's kind of in 12 games, he's got 0.3 WAR already.
Yeah.
And he's going gap to gap, which is when he's the best.
Hit
right?
a great opposite field double last night to tie the game in extras. Obviously had the game-tying home run in the game we lost the second game. Riley seemed this series in particular, even if the results weren't he had good at-bats, but even if the overall results, like he wasn't going 3-for-4 every day, he seems like he's locked in. Like he seemed, that was one of the dudes where I was like, there is an absolute sense of it. That looked like Riley in the 2021 NLCS type of thing. He comes up to the plate in a big moment, and he's locked in, and he's going to put the barrel on the ball type of situation.
Yeah. And there's, like, the difference between good and great is consistency, right?
Yeah.
Frank Thomas used to talk about this all the time. That's my buddy landing his helicopter, by the way.
I thought that was a tank rolling through. No. I wasn't sure.
No, the difference is consistency, right? Frank Thomas talked about it all the time. Every at bat matters. Every at bat, not just because it literally matters in that moment, but it matters for you. Like if perfect practice makes perfect, what happens when you go up to the plate up 10 runs or down 10 runs? You're like, oh, I'm just gonna fuck around in this at bat.
Right.
You develop a bad habit. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And this lackadaisical bullshit that is kind of the character of this team, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's like how many, and this, not just this version of this team. Andrew Jones, as a rookie, got pulled off the field. Bobby Cox walked all the way to center field with his bad legs and said, hey, get the fuck out.
Stubby right? little legs, yeah.
Now, Andrew, I think, is a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
And, you know, good on Bobby for putting his foot in his ass, but I haven't seen any of that here.
Right.
Like, there's absolutely no leadership on this team whatsoever.
As much as we like to shit on Bobby Cox for his bullpen management, there was still – and he was a better version of Snitker, basically.
Yeah.
Because there was a level of authority there.
Yeah. He was – I mean, look, he had been around a while. Not that Snitker hadn't, but Bobby had been around as a GM and as a manager for a long time before he even got to the Braves. Snitker was just like a nice guy in the organization. Like, oh, let's give him – he's the most like Bobby. That's the most success we ever had. Let's do that. It's a very retarded way to go about life.
We have had the most success we've had since Bobby.
Yeah, it's true.
Under Snitker.
Yeah, to some degree, it's true. But I think it's been in spite of him and not because of him. The only thing that's going to happen with this team to make them like really great is getting purchased by somebody who actually cares about winning.
Yeah.
Is one, and then two is Chipper Jones becoming the manager of this team, which probably won't happen until like 28.
Until his kids are older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it will happen.
I hope so.
I am completely convinced he loves baseball.
Oh, yeah.
He loves it. Like, he wants to be there every single day. He fucking loves it. And I think he'll be the manager a couple years down the road. But until then, you know, we're going to be the victim of poverty and incompetence, just like most other sports franchises are.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not like – it is what it is. Everybody's operating on a budget, and it has nothing to do with salary caps. Those are fake, right? Even in the leagues that actually have them, they're still fake.
Yeah.
Because you can just be like, hey, let's restructure this deal, and I'll give you a big-ass bonus a couple of years from now. They're, all right, cool, man. What the fuck do I care? I think, you know, we've got some hope.
Obviously, for $1 billion, and they are all, literally every major sports franchise in America that isn't an NHL team is a billion-dollar organization. An extra $30 million a year for a starting pitcher is – you're going to make that in a fucking 2-week span at the Battery.
Yeah.
On beer sales alone.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane.
Yeah, I just don't think. I think that AA is taking it seriously, and I don't think the ownership group is. I think they're they're trying to do as little as they can to grow the value of the franchise, or just wait until it grows on its own because of time, so they can sell it. That's all they're doing. It's an investment to them and not a passion, and that's the problem that we've seen in so many franchises over the past 20 years. Is that anybody with that kind of money knows they can buy it and wait 5 to 10 years and double their money, literally double their money. There's not a 50% 5-year return anywhere in any market that exists except for fucking professional sports.
Right.
So it is what it is.
I think the teams that have the best outlook typically are the teams that have people who love owning the team.
Yeah. Yeah.
And say what you want about
There's a diminishing return, like Mark Cuban, for example, but he still fucking got a title. It was a long time ago, and it shouldn't have happened, frankly, but
right.
It did. So what are you going to say about that, you know?
And it got him to 2.
Yeah.
And honestly, I guess you can blame the Lucas stuff a little bit on him for who he sold to, but like he drafted Dirk, Steve Nash, right?
I think Steve Nash came from he did draft him.
Yeah, then Steve Nash was a Mav at first. Yeah. And then they actually might have been before he bought the team, but the Mavericks were a joke until he took that team over. Like, they were a laughing stock of the NBA for like 15 years. You need a guy who loves, you need a ownership group and a front man, or just a straight up owner who loves owning the team. That doesn't always work because sometimes they're stupid, like Jerry Jones or Arthur Blank. Right, just to keep it in Atlanta. Like, you don't want Arthur Blank owning the Braves.
Yeah, let's see. Here are some of the people that that were drafted in the Mark Cuban era. Josh Howard was pretty good. I think let's see. Jason Kidd was way back in the day. Mashburn was way back. All right. I'm not seeing a whole. There's a lot of Europeans on this list.
Oh yeah, he was pretty early into the Euro market, but I mean, he drafted Luka. He didn't want to get rid of him.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have gotten rid of him if he still owned the team. If Nico had walked into his office and said that, he would have
probably would have fired him. Yeah,
yeah, immediately.
Yeah, which would have been the smart thing to do. Man, this draft is not good. Trae Young, he drafted technically.
Yeah, traded for Luka.
Jalen Brunson was a good draft pick.
But yeah, I mean, you need a guy like that. Even though they're not doing so well, just to stay on the NBA, because I feel like the NBA at this point has the most owners like this.
Mm-hmm.
A guy like Steve Ballmer, right, who's just like basically like retired from real work, and just wants to have fun owning a team. And obviously, his investments haven't paid off, but he made them.
Yeah.
Right? And because he wanted to win.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think everybody to some degree thought that Kawhi Leonard would play basketball again.
Right.
Or want to, but I guess that was a fucking pipe dream.
Yeah. So, I mean, you just need a guy like that. In better news for the Braves, at least, it looks like Strider will be back in a week. He's been absolutely demolishing AAA hitting.
Yeah, that's not even fair. I mean, it's hardly fair at the major league level half the time just because of the gas. But, he's going to be the ace, and then Schwellenbach will be number 2.
Yeah, and then you just hope you get something out of Sale.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to – I don't know why Sale hasn't – I know they just don't want to fuck with his confidence right now, but if you're looking at the back end on those numbers, I shut him down right now for at least a month.
Let him get right.
Yeah, because it's – Or maybe they're looking at the kinesiology, so they can hook him up to the machine and see if his mechanics are fucked up, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
But a mile and a half off of your fastball is bad. It's almost always TJ when that's the case.
Right.
Almost always, which he's already had twice. And nobody comes back from the third one. Nobody has. So
first
we'll see.
For everything, I guess.
But, you know, if it's like the beginning parts of the TJ thing, he can get the surgery that Strider did, stapling the ligament to his elbow, and people have come back from that.
Yeah.
But that needs to happen now.
We are, at least right now, thank God Strider's coming back, because this is probably the most important stretch of schedule for the next 2 months, because we actually have like a little bit of a break before we get back into the brutal shit. 3 at the Rays, wherever the fuck they play now. 3 at Toronto. who has started off the season okay, but I don't buy them. The Twins are ass. Cardinals are ass. Three at the Diamondbacks will be tough, but then three at the Rockies after that. So, I mean, getting a win, getting a series win against the Phillies is huge. And then we just got to stack series wins over the next 2 weeks. This is it. Like, this is the time to turn on. You're going to face mediocre pitching. You're going to face mediocre teams. Strider's coming back. Now's the time to get right. And again, maybe we're overblowing the start to the season a little bit because, quite frankly, every time we take a West Coast road trip, no matter what point in the season it is, that's what we fucking look like. Every time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, certainly it's not as bad as it looks on paper. Like the win-loss record is what it is.
Right. So,
sometimes you start off hot, sometimes you start off cold. I think after the World Series win, didn't we? We had a pretty good run at first, and it wasn't a particularly good season.
I mean, we were really mediocre till that June, and then we started ripping.
Yeah. I think, didn't we go like 7-14 or something shit to start the season?
Like that was really the year bad. When we were down 10 to the Mets in June.
Mm-hmm.
We were 10 games back at the start of June. I mean, even the year we won the World Series, and I think in 2019 as well, I don't remember 2020 just because it was a weird year, but those 2 years that we won the division, we opened the season getting swept by the Phillies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's never great, but it's three games.
Right.
You know.
So this is it. I mean, we took, look, again, 6-29 with runners in scoring position, not amazing, but we took 2 or 3. We won the series. Take the win. Now fucking start stacking wins. Stack series wins.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder what's going on in the clubhouse right now, because if I were the manager, I would be, you know, is any good manager, regardless of what it is, soldiering, baseball, fucking your office, you want to, you know, nurture confidence and hold accountability. Those are the two things that you're kind of doing as a manager, even as a parent. You know, those are things you do. So I guess the question is, what are we confident about? What are we doing well, and how can we replicate that? And then what are we doing poorly, and how can we, you know, cut that off? Because some of it is circumstance, which you can – the only thing that you do with circumstance is nurture confidence. Like, hey, you're getting good looks. Just keep doing that. Over time, it'll average itself out, which is true, right? That's why we call it average. But it's like things that we don't do well, bad base running, and I haven't seen too much of it this year, surprisingly. Usually that's a situation for us.
Even the out that Albies had at third the other day was I think Bohm booted it, and it was an unlucky bounce straight to Trey Turner. And he was right. He was right to run.
Just bad circumstance on that. And then like being selective at the plate, Olsen and Ozuna are doing it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a function of how dangerous they are and people are pitching around them.
I think Ozuna is certainly seeing a minimal amount of strikes.
Yeah. But, how do you reinforce that? Right. Like if you put them in the right spots in the lineup, they're dangerous no matter where they are. So is Riley, right? You have three guys that are definitely dangerous every time they come up to the plate, even right now when two of them aren't putting up crazy numbers. As a matter of fact, Olsen's hitting 190 right now, but still dangerous. Otherwise, they wouldn't be pitching around him the whole time.
Right.
And he's chasing, and that's why he's not hitting well.
Don't force the issue.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to force the issue if you don't see any strategy in your lineup. If you're hitting lead off second or third and people are trying to pitch around you and you've got, you know, Riley or Olsen or you know, somebody like that behind you, then you don't care. It's like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to take the walk and you'll pay for it, right? And then next time you got to pitch to me, then I'll fucking drive one down your throat. There just isn't any of that going on right now, unfortunately.
Hopefully the urgency is there. Now, before we get to our picks, we're going to tell you where we make them. We make them at MyBookie.com. Go to MyBookie.com. Use promo code DRINKINGBROS to double your first deposit up to $1,000. You put in $1,000, they'll give you $1,000. You put in $20, they'll give you $20. Anywhere in between, same deal. Also, if you are a regular player on MyBookie.com, they do the MyBookie Plus rewards program. You don't have to sign up for it. It doesn't cost you anything. It's essentially a customer loyalty program. If you've been playing a while, you're in it. They do really cool stuff like featured bets that only you're allowed to do that they cater for you, and usually pretty good odds on it. They also do the rake back program, which is my favorite. If you have a bad week, which Delco Dan is not, since he just won a whole lot of money on Justin Rose leading the first round of the Masters, Ross as well. They'll toss you some money back if you do have a bad week. That's what the rake back program is. They'll say, hey, we know you don't feel alive unless you have a little money on the game. Sorry you had a bad week. Here's a little bit of money to put on whatever you want. And for me, this time of year especially, I recommend a big fat baseball parlay on mybookie.com. They also have a live casino. We just recorded Casino Friday right before this. You play blackjack. It's not like a casino, a video casino situation. It is a live dealer. It's like playing blackjack over Zoom would be the easiest way to describe it. Real cards, real dealer, real money. Super fun. If you're into blackjack, highly recommend checking that out. But again, we make all our sports picks at the mybookie.com sports bet as well. And let's get into that. We got some decent series to bet on this weekend, actually, in terms of opportunity, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all the games are the same. Obviously, you've got stuff like Pirates, Reds, Braves, Rays, Orioles, Blue Jays, which I love. Unfortunately, the Marlins and Nats are playing each other, which is a missed opportunity. Mm. But the Red Sox get the White Sox. The Angels have started out pretty hot, but they're playing the Astros. I still don't know if I trust the Angels, even though Trout is doing Mike Trout shit again. Hopefully he only does the good Mike Trout shit and not the get injured in fucking June Mike Trout shit.
Yeah.
Phillies playing the Cardinals. Love that matchup. Padres at home against the Rockies. Brewers and Diamondbacks be a good series. I don't know if I have a read on it, really. And then the Rangers playing the Mariners. The Mets playing the A's. Cubs-Dodgers pretty fairly evenly matched. It's in L.A., so I'd favor the Dodgers there in general for sure.
It's 6-0 at home.
Yeah. Well, it helps when you play the Braves. But I'll get into some picks today. I'll take Saturday just because Friday's today, so I'll back off of it a little bit. Love the Phillies beating the Cardinals in St. Louis. Day game on Saturday. Miles Mikolas pitching for the Cardinals. Hasn't had a good year so far, but I think the Mikolas magic is kind of done in general. Orioles-Blue Jays. Blue Jays are 8-6. They played well. They have Berrios on the mound, but I like the Orioles there. I think the Orioles are just the better team at home. They're going to start to figure things out. I'm staying away from Braves-Rays, even though I think we should win the series. I just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'd feel comfortable taking the Red Sox against the White Sox every game this week.
Yep.
No problem there. The Royals on Saturday have Michael Lorenzen, who is a great pitcher, pitching against Ortiz, 8.44 ERA. Love the Royals to take the middle game there. Astros over the Angels, take that. And then even though he hasn't had a good year so far, Corbin Burns pitching for the Diamondbacks against the Brewers on Saturday. Again, Padres playing the Rockies. I'll take the Padres every single time. And I'll actually stay away from Rangers-Mariners on Saturday. Kamal Rocker is pitching, and he's a great prospect, but I don't – he's gotten smacked around a little bit this year so far. I don't know that I want to lay that.
I don't know that – has he ever had any success –
this is basically his first full go at being a major leaguer. But yeah, I'll take Phillies over the Cardinals. Orioles over the Blue Jays. Red Sox over the White Sox. Royals over Cleveland. I want to stay away from Pirates-Reds, too. Astros over the Angels. D-backs over the Brewers and Padres over the Rockies. That's my parlay for the weekend. I'll put that in the Drinking Bros Sports Facebook group.
Yeah, so for me, on Saturday, this is my parlay. Rays, Marlins, Phillies, Giants, Orioles, Mets, Royals, Pirates, Astros, Dodgers, Mariners.
That's whole slate?
It's close.
Okay.
There's a couple that I stayed away from. Rays, Marlins, Phillies, Giants, Orioles, Mets, Royals, Pirates, Astros, Dodgers, and Mariners. Look through those and, pick a couple you agree with and put, you don't have to use all of them, but those are the ones. So usually what I'll do is I'll bet all those and I'll take the ones that I have the most confidence in and put them in a smaller parlay.
Yeah.
And bet those. And on Sunday, Nationals, Giants, Jays, Royals, Reds, Angels, Tigers, Phillies, Mets, Dodgers. Again, that's Nationals, Giants, Jays, Royals, Reds, Angels, Tigers, Phils, Mets, and Dodgers.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some good matchups this week, or this weekend, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking to see if the thing that I'm most watching this weekend is to see if the Diamondbacks pitchers get back on track.
Yeah. I've had a little bit of a rough start. Yeah,
little bit, but you know, it is. That's, I'm not terribly concerned about those guys. And yeah, they've got some good fucking pitchers. So they've got Eduardo Rodriguez is going tonight. He's their fifth starter, so you're gonna get out of that what you get out of it. But then they have Burns and Gallen going, and they have Kelly going, and then Fat, who had a pretty good season 2 years ago. So
pitching's there.
Yeah.
Anytime the Diamondbacks are playing a anemic team, for example, later this week,
yeah,
or later next week, Tuesday, I think they start a series against the Marlins. Love.
I know it was last year. Fat had a decent season, although his ERA was high, but
I mean, he's back into the rotation. He's a good 4-5 sure.
Yeah. It's a good time for them to turn it around because they're going to spend the next, I don't know, they're in at home, but they're playing Milwaukee, Miami, Chicago, Tampa Bay, then Atlanta, New York, Philly, New York again, before they come back to a West Coast team in the Dodgers on May 8th. So they got a chance to...
You got to stack wins outside of that division this year.
Yeah, because then they go Dodgers at Giants. They play the Rockies, which is nice, but then back to the Dodgers. That's a pretty brutal stretch right there.
Giants looking great so far.
Yep, that whole division does, to be honest. I mean, the Diamondbacks are just executing a little bit more away from being the fourth best team in the National League, to be honest. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
No, they're a great team. Those are our picks for this week. Again, we make it at mybookie.com. Go there to place all your bets, play blackjack, everything else. That's all I got. Hopefully we take the series against the Rays this weekend in whatever minor league stadium they're playing in. I think Trout just hit the shortest home run, shortest non-Fenway home run of all time in that stadium the other day.
Oh, God. What are we doing?
I know. All right. Catch you guys later.
Sutter Health Park. I've never even heard of that. Lived in the Bay Area for 8 years.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.